If you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time.
Well, good morning to the nation, good morning to the world, and welcome to the February the 7th, 2023 edition of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we'd like to thank you for tuning in to today's program. If you would like to be a participant in today's program, all you have to do is call this number, 516-453-9921. And if you have a question or a brief comment, just push the number one button. Give the call screener your name, and you may ask your question when you are called upon. Please, ma'am, please, sir, be brief. Be brief to the point so that Mr. Fuller can understand your question and then give you an answer to that. If you go on with a soliloquy, your thought may get lost, and then it's not going to be good. So make it brief, and then Mr. Fuller can answer your question, and we can move on. If you are a first-time caller listening to the program new, you can call that same number, but be sure that you give the call screener your name so that they will alert me that we have a new caller in and we have something special for you that you can get right in there, and you will be heard. Another way that you can contact this show is you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. Now, I would ask that in that you do not write me a novel, make it brief, so that I can read it to Mr. Fuller and he can understand it, because the one thing we want to do is cut down on confusion, so do that. That is the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And lastly, you can contact, or rather get in contact with the show in the terms of the chat room, and all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. When you do that, you want to go under programs. You click that, and then the Produce Justice Show is in the offerings. You click that, and then the chat room option becomes available for you, and you can get into the chat room as Unknown Knowns has joined in on the conversation. Good morning. So we can do that. All righty. Mr. Fuller, this is an announcement. Mr. Fuller, thank you, Be Good One. Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson Show this coming Thursday, February the 9th, 2023, from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. And we do here have a link that you can listen to the show by going to producejustice.com. There's a link there for the Carl Nelson Show, and you can click on that and you can get that. I will be making that announcement two or three more times today. Okay. Okay, Tess in New York, I finally got it right, is in the house. Okay, so I think that is all I have to do. Oh, yeah, one more thing. When you want to purchase the books, particularly for those who are new, go to producejustice.com, producejustice.com. You will hear that throughout this show. Reference to going, getting all the books and materials, show information, and past shows, go to producejustice.com. Okay, out of the way, let's do this. Let me introduce to some and present to others Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Mr. Fuller, good morning and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay. Last week we didn't do thoughts and expressions because we still were working on that program, that statement that you made. I think this is going on the sixth week now or fifth week about this. What have the smartest people, black people, done to solve the race problem? But I was wondering, what is the thoughts and expressions on the mind of Mr. Neely Fuller Jr.?
That's the main one, since that's the main thing, according to what you're just saying, if I understand it, that people are kind of focused on solutions to the race problem. This is supposed to be, some people say, February, Black History Month, so history is for what purpose? Everything is for what purpose that people do? Well, if they follow the logic, it's to solve problems. And the biggest problem on the planet, according to logic and according to evidence, and the way I see it and what this program is about, the biggest problem between people on what we call planet Earth is the problem of racism. And some people may agree with that, others won't. But if that's the biggest problem, you should have the best minds, because I think that's what I said several weeks ago. I mean, the people who, other people agree, and they agree with themselves, I guess, out of all the people on the planet, what people have the most powerful minds, thoughts in their heads, because everything starts with a thought when it comes to solving problems. What people or what persons, because it comes down to persons, not groups, but people are individual persons, what person, what are their names, what doors do you knock on, how do you get in contact with them? The smartest people on the planet, right here in the year 2023, should be working on the biggest problem on the planet. That's the logic. Why not have the smartest people, not people like Neely Fuller, who's just a fellow prisoner that's walking around in a prison yard, pecking around at the edges of what to do about the prison system called the system of racism. It is a prison system. Neely Fuller is just a prisoner of that system. And what you want the smartest of white people, who are not victims of white supremacy, because if you're white, you're not a victim of white supremacy. But white people have proven that they know a whole lot, particularly when it, as a group, they have proven that they know a whole lot of how to go about getting things done. They are the go-to people for the whole world. Everybody who wants to figure out what to do with their computer or how to make one, they're going to be talking to some white people, most likely. It's not going to be a whole lot of just black people out of this place and that place and bragging about their accomplishments and their ancestors, and which is what we do a lot of, particularly during this month, brag about our ancestors. And I don't know what that's supposed to do, because I don't advocate it. I say educate, don't celebrate. Don't celebrate anything, period. We're not qualified. According to me, no, according to logic. You celebrate when all problems are solved. You don't celebrate in the middle of the game, so to speak, or definitely in the middle of a war. You're celebrating in the middle of a war and people are dying. Black people dying by the bushel, all over the planet, each and every day, each and every minute. Many of them slaughtering each other. And we are killing each other and bragging about our accomplishments, beating drums, clapping hands, singing. That's insane. There's a word for it, insanity. And can't step out your door without getting shot by another black person. Go to the grocery store, and you have to be bent over, hoping that you don't get shot. Almost hugging the sidewalk, almost crawling, coming out your door, wherever there are black people, anywhere on the planet. Can't go anywhere without great fear. Now, we know the white supremacists are behind it all, but we should think about that. And getting back to the central thing that I'm saying right now, since it seems like everybody else is talking about it who has heard that program where I said it, they're still interested in it, so that's what's on my mind. I'm interested in what black people are interested in, because if people are not interested in what you're talking about, they won't talk about it. And if they won't talk about it, they won't do anything about it. So if black people say that the best minds here in Black History Month should be applied, that's all the white people who people brag on and all like that, let them come forward and say, all of these amateurs can stop doing what they're doing because I'm the best mind that there is when it comes to solving problems, and I'm here to solve the race problem. I'm a white man or a white woman. I'm here to solve the problem, not talk about it, not wring my hands about it, not cry and moan and get on my knees and whatnot, and then get off my knees and don't do nothing. I'm a doing person. I'm a white man. You might even throw that in. You might even brag about it. But see, when you brag, that means you got bragging rights. You're qualified to brag. Why? Because you get things done, that's why. Not talk about getting things done. I'm an excellent talker sometimes. We got many, many who do better than neither fool ever thought about doing when it comes to talking. This is a talk show here. But I don't have no business laughing and grinning and buck dancing because I haven't earned that. I have not earned that. I have not solved the problem. When I solve the problem, then that's tambourine time, not 1 second before. So we want everybody who thinks they can solve the problem to have the most voice. But we don't know who they are, I don't think. I don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm willing to talk about, because that's where we are now. Problem
mm-hmm.
solvers. That's all. What's the purpose for studying history? What's the purpose for breathing? You're supposed to be a problem solver, not a problem solving observer or problem maker, which is what many of us are.
Yes, sir.
We know how to make problems. We don't know how to solve any.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we want to know, where are the problem solvers? Let them step forward and say, hey, all those people who spoke before me, they can go get some rest. Because
okay.
I'm here to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to step forward. At every meeting that they're having, all during this month and the months after that and the years after that, we want the problem solvers to talk first. What problem have you solved? That'll be the question. Anybody who comes to the mic, what problem have you solved? Name one.
Mm-hmm.
Name
mm-hmm.
two. Have you ever solved a problem the times you've been on this planet? See, this clears the deck. We have too much confusion. Everybody wants to say this, and everybody running here, running there. That's real neat right there. That's neat when you say, let the problem solver speak first.
Now, yes, sir,
before you come to the mic, what problem have you solved lately that affects a whole lot of people on a large scale? Name one. Okay, well, you can't name one. Okay, well, maybe somebody else can name one, so that comes to the mic. That's what we want now. I mean, get away from this personality nonsense. Period. Everybody wants to grab the mic. I'm grabbing the mic. But what problem is needed for us to solve? None. Zero. So let him step back and let the person who has solved the problem and thinks that they can solve this one called the race problem, let them grab the mic first.
Okay. All righty. Well, this has been going on for 6 weeks, and including this week being the sixth week that it's still only about the smartest black people to solve the problem. Let's go. Oh, my screen just went blank, so let me get this back. Here we go. Well, maybe I didn't. There we go. Nope. Okay. Let me read this. So this is a Gmail. It says, good morning to you guys. I'm Tony, texting from Houston, Texas. My question for Mr. Fuller Jr. is, did he hear about the police brutality that led to the Tyre Nichols death? And if so, did white supremacy have something to do with it? How, when it was five black who was the cause of Tyre Nichols' death? Thank you.
According to the code, I call it the counter-racist code, based on logic, the system of white supremacy is the most significant government on planet Earth in the year 2023. That's the name of it. The system, in capital letters, in neon lights or whatever, the system of white supremacy is the most powerful government of the entire planet called Earth in the year 2023. That's government of people. Which means that the white supremacists are the powerful force, the most powerful force behind anything that any non-white person does. That's what white supremacy is. So if a black person is killing another black person, it's the white supremacist's fault. Or they can take credit for it. Why? They're the most powerful people on earth. They didn't want that to happen. It wouldn't be happening. No black person could kill another black person. Why? Because their minds wouldn't even go that way. Why? Because the white supremacists would have taught them and put an environment in place where that wouldn't even cross a black people, a person's mind. But what they do, they teach black people to kill each other. Even over there in an isolated black school, anywhere on the planet, they teach that. They glorify that. And they set the example for it. Because they slaughter each other and say, see what we are doing? Now follow our path. But they always see to it that there's more black people suffering from doing non-just harm to each other than there is white people. Why? Because their counter-racist computer, their logic tells them, this is how you remain and continue the system of white supremacy, deception and violence.
Okay.
So in answer to the question, yes, any move, anything that you see black people doing that shouldn't be done, the white supremacists are behind it. They're the usual suspects, directly and indirectly. It doesn't show on the surface, but if you dig deep enough, that's where it came from.
Okay.
Every time. Why? Because they are the masters of what everybody does who's black.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thanks for that question. Answer to that question. I will say this before we take a call here. Roy, you have just mentioned that hello is a curse. So now, do you have any reference that information can be accessed? If you do, since you're in the chat room, put that out there so that the people in the chat and myself could look that information up. Go to Milwaukee and Corey. Let me see if I can get you in here. Okay. Wait a minute. There you go. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, I had a problem that I've experienced personally, and I'm also observing it. When there's a so-called black educational center, a place of learning, that's supposed to counter racism, they are sometimes attaching and in the word inclusive in their mission or in their way of doing business. And what that ends up meaning is, if you are not friendly towards the idea of LGBT, homosexuality, lesbianism, then you are an enemy of this black organization that's supposed to be fighting against white supremacy racism. How do we contend with that? And what would you say to someone who is passing that message on?
You say that the white supremacists are using what they call the LGBTQ or whatever, they'll be added alphabets, I guess, like they use everything that's in the area of sex. The white supremacists are using it to cripple the non-white people of the planet even more than they are already crippled. They've figured out that's an excellent way to cripple their minds, to divert their minds away from things that are really important, that are more constructive, and have them center on that. That's the purpose. It's just a diversionary tactic. The white supremacists operate in all nine areas of activity, and I'm going to try to keep it simple. Education, economics, in alphabetical order. When it comes to non-white people, the white supremacists say, what is the strongest thing we can do to weaken the black people of this planet, the non-white people, in the area of economics? Economics meaning time and energy. That's basic economics, how you use your time, how you use your energy. Because when you come into the world, that's the two things you got. And when you leave here, that's the two things that you lose. You lose time and you lose energy. Babies are born into the world with time and energy. So the white supremacists said, we catch them right out of the womb. And we decide how they're going to use their time and energy. So they get control of your economics. Economics is not just about money. It's about the use of everything. Everything has time and energy. So they get control of all of that. They got control of it even before you're born. Okay? That's what white supremacy means if you're a person of color. So they do the same thing in education. Now, we're going to send these people to some kind of school because they say that they want to be educated. So we'll just run them around in a circle. We'll even let them have their own historically black universities. But what they'll be taught to do is basically, but they won't be aware of it, a whole lot of nothing. Because they will come out with a whole lot of papers in their hands of certifying this and certifying that, but they won't be able to solve a single problem. Keep them that way. And those who do learn how to solve problems, they'll be the rare exceptions. And then we'll tie them in knots so that they can't usually use what they've learned to the max. We know how to control that. And then they do the same thing in the entertainment field. They'll say, how can we weaken these people? They're excellent entertainers, but how can we make sure that their entertainment doesn't have a constructive effect? Well, any songs that they sing? Yeah. Well, put lyrics in the songs that have them always doing things that are not constructive. Very simple. Don't let them think in depth. Don't put any words in their song. Just let their words be just a whole lot of kindergarten-type stuff or something that is absolutely dangerous to them. Yeah, okay, well, yeah. And that's what they do in entertainment. And dump tons of money on them who go into that field. So they'll just keep it coming. Same stuff. And when they listen to it, they'll do harm to each other when they listen to it, as they listen to it. And this, and it's been my observation, Neely Fuller's observation, they always did that in the field of entertainment. I mean, and either it was something very silly or something that was kind of dangerous that inspired you to do things that were dangerous to other black people. Some of the most outstanding songs going way back, way before songs like Mack the Knife. Someone's creeping around the corner. Could that be someone like Mack the Knife? Yeah. Had Louis Armstrong. That's one of his most outstanding songs. Later on, he had It's a Wonderful World, which is very popular now. But when it was first sung, I didn't pay much attention to it. I was listening to Mack the Knife. Who was Mack the Knife? He was a guy that carried a knife, and he killed people. And he chased females all over the place and used them up, something that black people are notorious for. So to get back to answering the question, in the area of sex, the white supremacist said, people think about sex all the time, but black people are getting dangerous in these other areas of activity. So if we get complete control of their sexual tendencies and teach them everything that we want them to know about, oh no, this male with female, that's old-fashioned. Let's see. How can we mix and match it up here? How can we show that it's just not one or two types of sexuality? It's hundreds of types. And we need these black people to drop everything and try to chase down all them hundreds. Just spend full time, particularly the intellectuals. We'll grab the intellectuals first. And the church people, don't forget them. We get it well planted because it's already got a foothold. So we'll pour it on. It just won't be the choir. It will be everybody in there. Mm-hmm. All right? And we'll have them just running around in circles chasing new types of sexuality because black people always want to be up to date. You know, they want to have the latest fashions and all like that. So let's really get a firm grip on that and tell them what's the new sexuality for this week?
Hmm.
Have you tried this? Come on down, you bug-eyed people. Yeah, come on down. Try this.
Yeah.
Try that. Have you sampled this?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are falling right into that bucket.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing an excellent
bucket.
Job worldwide, all over Africa and everywhere else.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, thank you, Corey. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Let me take a break here. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neil A. Fuller, Jr. And we'd like you for you to get in contact with the show, and you may do so by calling this number, 516-453-9921. And if you have a brief comment, and I do mean brief, I'm going to stress that, please, ma'am, please, sir, please make it brief so that Mr. Fuller can understand the question and give you the appropriate suggestion slash answer to that. If you go on and on, then sometimes it gets convoluted. So don't do that. Just ask your question and then please give Mr. Fuller an opportunity to answer that or suggestion or question for you. First-time callers, you can call the same number, but make sure you tell the call screener your name. And then, so we have something set up for you that you will be heard. Okay, you can also Gmail me with your questions, and hopefully I'll get to read it. And if I don't, I will send you I'll send you a symbol anyway to let you know that I have received it. And then at an appropriate time, Mr. Fuller will answer your question. You can do that by doing this, the numeral 7. Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y at gmail.com. You can do that. And lastly, you can go to the chat room. Just go to blogtalkradio.com, and you want to click on where it says programs, and you want to produce Justice Show. You may click on that, and the chat room becomes available for you to click that, and you can join the chatters. And very good conversations that are in the chat room. And I want to point this out, that there are many people that are in the chat room, but you got to be aware that not everybody in the chat room has the same purpose that you have on. So you have to be careful about that, just as in life. There are some people that like to suggest things that aren't necessarily true. But whatever you do, make sure you do your research on that, because this is a basically a no-troll zone. But, you know, what can we do? It's open to all. Okay, important announcement. Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson Show this Thursday from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. That is the 9th of February, 2023. And we do have a link set up at producejustice.com for you to listen to Mr. Fuller on the Carl Nelson Show. All righty. We can do that. Okay, let's go to Brooklyn and Toussaint. And let me say this. I'm so glad y'all got rid of Kyrie Irving. Oh, okay, that's not part of the show. Okay, my bad. Go ahead. Go ahead, Toussaint.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning.
Good morning,
Mr. Fuller.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Mr. Fuller, I wanted to ask you this morning, what would you feel is the most important area of human activity for us to work on dismantling the system of white supremacy in first, or would you believe that we should try to tackle all human areas of activity at once?
Yes, all of them. Everything is connected. Economics is connected with entertainment. Entertainment is connected with religion. All the people who say they have a religion, they have a way of entertaining themselves. The religion itself is supposed to be entertaining. See, they're all connected. These are just words. See, they're just words about what people do. That's why I call it the 9 areas of people activity. I don't call it human activity. We don't have human activities according to logic, because that's everything that the code's supposed to be based on. We don't have human activities because we don't have human people. People are not humane. Human means you're humane. What does humane mean according to logic? Because everything is supposed to be based on logic, everything in the code. What does it mean to be a human being, a humane being? It means you practice justice. Now, what is justice? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help in every area of activity. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. I call it the nine areas. That's what the book itself on counter-racism is segmented in, nine areas. Some people say there are more areas than that. Oh, yeah, there are hundreds of areas, but I just said that nine is enough, and then you try to put everything under those nine, because everything that people do has something to do with. I'll just take one person. That person does a lot of things, and all those things are connected. Whatever you do in religion affects whatever you're going to do in the area of sex. Whatever you do in the area of sex is going to affect what you do in the area of education. Whatever you do in the area of education is going to affect what you do in the area of economics. And what did I say economics was? The use of time and energy. So whatever you do in education, I mean, has something to do with economics, time and energy, and vice versa. Whatever you do in economics is going to affect what you do in the area of education. And what is education? Learning. Like I, in, on opening this program, I say I'm still learning. You're never out of school. Education is something that's continuous. Even when you die, you never died before, not that you can remember anyway, to the best of my knowledge. You may have, but you don't remember when you died before. I haven't run into anybody who said, oh, yeah, I died before. I remember everything what I did, you know, and then I died and I came back. But I remember everything I did in that life before. But even people who have that incorporated in their religion, I haven't run into anybody who said that. Somebody said that parts of the Hindu religion is that you've been here before, in somewhere in the universe, but you just don't remember it. And what you did the last time you were here affects what you're doing here now. And that each time you die, depending on how you conducted yourself, when you come back in the next life, you'll be better off according to what you did in that other life prior to that. Now, I've heard that. I don't know if that's true or not, as being a part of some facets of the Hindu religion, that you never really die permanently. I think it's Red Fox that made a joke then. The problem with dying, there ain't nothing wrong with being dead, except you stay dead too long. Somebody said that Red Fox said that one.
Oh, okay. Had to check that one out. All right. Toussaint, Brooklyn, thank you for your call. Gmail, Mr. Fuller, Anonymous asked this question. In the area of labor, would you prefer to select employment with mostly white people or mostly non-white, black, parenthetically, people?
Would I connect labor?
Would you prefer to select employment with mostly white people or mostly non-white or black people, and you use parentheses, to finish the question.
In the area of labor?
Yes, in the area of labor. Mm-hmm.
Everything is purely connected, like I said before. All of these areas are connected. Labor is connected, connected to politics. Labor is also connected to religion. Labor is also connected to economics. So it's all interconnected. So under the system of white supremacy, you're always working for the white supremacists if you're a person of color anyway. In fact, well, I don't know of any area of activity where you're not working. That's what supreme means. Or, if you're a person of color, the white supremacists, either directly or indirectly. Now, someone might say, oh, no, I work for my father. My father, he runs a grocery store. Our family has always been in the grocery business. It's 18 of us in the extended family, all the cousins, and they're all connected with the grocery business because they find out it's pretty good money in it if you know how to do it and can do it well. We also run some restaurants because that's connected with food.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so now you might say now, are you under white supremacy? No, we never work for white folks. I mean, it's just us. All 18 of us, all 27 of us, we run the grocery business, and every last one of us, we work either at the same stores or got stores of our own, and we all connected up. In fact, we got our own farm where we get our stuff directly right from, we ain't got nobody on in between. But if you're on this planet, you're under the system of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how many. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, according to the evidence, it doesn't make any difference how many black people have what they call their own businesses. I inherited a hotel and a cafe. Me, myself, Neely Fuller Jr., I was part of the inheritance of Neely Fuller Sr. And I had sisters, brothers. We were in that business. But we went out of business. Why? Because of racism. That's why. The white supremacists, they look at any black person talking about how much money they got. Some of us got billions now. I just read something in the paper the other day about it. The seven richest black people is seven. The seven. And a couple of them I'd never heard of, who are billionaires. A couple of them I've heard of, both Miss Oprah Winfrey, and but it was about two or three, maybe as many as three of the seven, and I never heard their names at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they're billionaires. The white supremacists let black people have a lot of money. Not many, but some. But they don't really have that money. I mean, if they can say that they are independent of the white supremacists, they don't get that big. You're not going to get that big in the system of white supremacists because they can snatch it from you anytime they get ready, every dime of it. Anytime they think about doing that, they can do it.
Mm.
They don't have to ask nobody nothing. They know how to do it. They can crush you with your billions.
Yes,
overnight. Don't forget that.
Okay.
They did that with me and my siblings, I mean, without even thinking about it. That little small town with a business. How did they do it? They undercut the customers.
Mm.
All the customers left town. And they didn't allow black people to solicit to the business. So we were out of business overnight.
Yeah, that would do it.
I mean, it doesn't take for 15 minutes. It might take you years. It takes them 15 minutes or less. They just walk in and say, you're out of here.
Yeah.
Just like every gangster operation. Like
yeah.
in the Corleones, they walk mm-hmm. in and told Mo Green, you're out of here. You're out of here, Mo. You know, we got some new people. And if you don't think you're out of here, you go to that sauna, or if we're going to put a bullet in your eye.
Mm.
The white supremacists got control of that, too.
Real quick. Yeah, I had to laugh because you mentioned, and I did see that article that you made reference to about the seven richest black people. I guess they were saying on the planet. But the reason why I had to laugh is because can you imagine being so rich that you bankrupted the economy of a country as Mansa Musa did, the richest black man ever, or the richest man ever in the world. It was said that he was so rich that he gave the poor people gold, and he had so much that he bankrupted the total economy. I believe it was Egypt as he was passing through. And what made me laugh even further, if he was that rich, he was of Mali, he received that, what he had, from, I believe, his cousin or somebody in his family called Mansa Abukari II. I say that so people can look that up. Mansa Abukari II, he was richer than Mansa Musa was. And Mansa Musa inherited that. I thought that was a very interesting little tidbit. So somebody could check that out and see for yourself. Don't believe anything that, you know, I say. But check it out for yourself and see. Maybe you may have a different opinion. Okay, let's go to the Bronx. Get ready, Luke. Cool Hand Luke. Are you ready? Here we go. Wait a minute. See if I can get it right on it. New caller, Luke. You are on the air with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. I know you guys are big on brevity, so I have two questions, if I could stay on the line, and one statement of gratitude. Mr. Bobby, thank you for hosting the show. Mr. Fuller, I'm not sure if you'll ever know the value that you've brought to the world and to non-white people in particular. So thank you, Mr. Fuller. My first of the two questions, if I could stay on the line, Mr. Bobby, is one of practical use, Mr. Fuller. What advice do you have for young black men who are seeing this, the showboating, the showcasing, and to guard against the vices of the world? You know, you're making some money, you see white supremacy, and, you know, different cultures have sayings about, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mr. Fuller, as you were a young man growing up seeing the system of white supremacy, what advice did you give yourself to not do to the trappings of some of the world, you know, with that, again, the saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, regarding, you know, drinking, drugs, gambling, you know, just that type of thing? How do you, keep those vices in check, Mr. Fuller? Any advice from you?
By following logic and ask why of everything you see in front of you. Ask questions about what is this? And the bottom line, does it produce what? Two words, constructive results.
Yes, sir.
If a person is talking to you, I don't care, you know, white person, black person, they talk and talk and talk. When they get through talking, you got one basic question before you get to the other hundreds of questions. What's going to be the constructive result of everything that you just said, everything that you came to me with? Ask that person that, whether they're white or non-white. See, and everything that you're talking to me about, you say you got something in your pocket that you think that I need to look into that might give you a thrill, you just wait till they get through talking. See, now that thing you got in that pocket, or that package of something, with that package of white powder that you got in your pocket, if I take it, you say snort it, what's going to be the constructive result? And I'll wait for your answer. What's going to be the underlying, constructive, underlying result? How is it going to make me act? If I snort that, am I going to become wiser, richer, Am I going to be a problem solver or a problem maker? I got about 1,000 questions after you ask that, answer that first one. I want to know about nothing but two words, that's all, for everybody listening to this program. Anything that you do, go to a new school or get on a boat and go to another place and whatnot, ask yourself the whole time you're involved in it, officially get involved, what's going to be the constructive result?
Constructive result.
If that's not clear in your mind, don't do it until you figure out or somebody tells you or demonstrate what the constructive result is going to be. Otherwise, back away.
Okay.
And say, whatever it is you say you got for me, I mean, I think you're going to have to do a little better, sir. Always be polite.
Yes,
because
sir.
I don't see where this is going to produce a constructive result. I really don't.
What is your second question?
You'll have to show me more.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Bobby. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. The second question is, on a previous call-in, Mr. Fuller, you talk a lot about the creator. And you, caller asked about an ancient evil, if there's such a creator, talk about justice. Can you speak more, can you elaborate on that? You had mentioned ancient evil, Mr. Fuller, and I know people like immediately think about religion in that sense, but I'm curious about your perspective when you talk about codification and the creator, what the opposite or the antithesis or the ancient evil is that you might have spoke of, Mr. Fuller. Could you speak on that, please?
Ancient evil? Anything that's not constructive is ancient evil. Every move that people make, every move that a squirrel makes, is going to have a constructive effect or a non-constructive effect. The weather, all of this, is the weather today going to serve a constructive purpose or is it going to serve a non-constructive purpose? Might have a flood today in a place where you usually don't have floods. And a lot of times, floods come about on the kind of things that people have done. But you have floods that people didn't do, that the creator of water caused that to happen. So the creator produces and destroys whatever that is by whatever name you call it. Some people call it God, Allah, the Great Spirit. But people should be about, well, if a flood comes, how best do you control a flood if you've got to stay in that area where the flood is? How best can you control it? So that means you've got to be a problem solver, which is what people are supposed to be in everything that they do. In answer to several of the questions that have been asked just in this program, right up to this one. It's all about it. And everything that you do, is it problem solving or is it problem making? And then you go through to find out, is it solving a problem or is it making a problem? Sometimes you solve one problem, but in the process of solving that one problem, you made three more. So you got to watch out for that. That's why I say you have to do in-depth thinking. Now, if I do this, I'll solve that problem, but I will make two other problems in the process. And so the boat will sink. So if you put a big engine in it, that will, for example, you design this ship so that it will go faster than the ship you had last time. It's got a bigger motor in it, and it has more power, so it will move across the water faster. But what you didn't figure on, the engine you put in it is too heavy for the ship. So when you went out in the water with it, it sank. It will get where you wanted it to go, but, you didn't think about the buoyancy. See, you solved one problem, but you made a bigger one.
It created another
one. You got a ship sitting out there under the water with all the cargo. Mm-hmm. Plus you lost your ship.
Okay. All righty. You're going to stay on the line, Luke, so we got you. So we'll do that. Let me see here. Looks like it's Tess. Let me see here. I've got 5 minutes in this segment. I'm going to go ahead and try it here. Tess, you are on, if I got it right. Go ahead. You're on with Mr. Fuller.
That's right. How you doing, Mr. Bobby? Good morning, Mr.
Good,
Fuller.
Sir.
All right. Didn't expect to be on the call right now, but I have a question for y'all. Let me start by saying this. First, I want to thank Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby, the call screeners, and all those involved in making the show available to us as well. A thank you to the listeners and those in the chat room. This will be a two-part question. On page 298 of the revised expanded edition of the United Compensatory Codebook.
298.
That's right.
Okay. Let me remind you as we go to that page, since this segment is going to be short, you're going to have to I'll have to carry it over to the second segment, second hour when the time comes. So don't be alarmed here. You say 298?
That's correct.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. 298. Okay, go ahead. In the area of
all
sex?
Right. Yes, it states the
okay.
following. Two. Have you ever been sexually abused, sexually assaulted, sexually molested, raped, mutilated, etc.? Further, if by a white person, what was his or her name? And do you know where he or she is now? This two-part question. What is the recommended...
Wait a minute, let's do the first part first.
Okay. What is the recommended compensatory action for a non-white female who was exploited as such?
Who was what?
Exploited.
Exploited?
Yes.
And what is, and your question is what?
Is the recommended compensatory action for a non-white female?
Oh, you recognize what is done and try to prevent it happening. I mean, you and take whatever steps are available to you to see that it doesn't happen again, if I understand what the problem was. In other
yes.
words, the whole idea is just to solve the problem. If it's something that happened, that should happen, then it means it should happen again, always. And if it's something that shouldn't happen, you do everything that you can to keep it from happening. Take yourself out of that environment and go to whomever, meaning white people, directly and indirectly, and the white supremacists for sure, directly and indirectly, and say, this happened to me. What are you going to do about it? Now, if they decide they're not going to do anything about it, then you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to do something about it yourself and all of the consequences that go with that. I mean, it's very simple. Most things in the code that's recommended are simple, but might be difficult to make a decision as to whether or not you want to suffer the consequences of whatever action you take.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand what the question was,
someone
did harm to you.
Yeah.
But you're in a prison. Always remember, a prison is made up for harmful things to happen to you. But sometimes, even in a prison, you can make your situation a little better than it is by taking certain moves. That's why I usually, but sometimes, use a movie, because people have problems, can learn things from movies real quick without having to read another book or two. And the movie Shawshank Redemption. And you look at the characters in the movie and what did they do to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like the main character in the movie Shawshank Redemption, he was being abused, but then he did what? He got within the favor, because that was his only escape, being in prison, of the warden.
Okay.
And the warden saw to it that his abuser didn't abuse nobody else or that person anymore.
Okay, Mr. Fuller, excuse me. Hold that thought right there. We'll go right back to that. We'll have to close out the first hour. Thank you, everybody that called in, and thank you for listening. But we have to go for the first hour. And if you have to go, hopefully you'll come back next week. We'll see you next week. For those of you who are going to stay with us, good. You do that because we have more of Mr. Fuller in the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., which will commence in 5 seconds. Alrighty, welcome back to the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. To get in contact with the show, you need to call this number, 516-453-9921. And please, ma'am, please, sir, make sure that you give the call screener your name. And we would love to have you on. And please, ma'am, please, sir, be brief. Be brief. Be brief. We don't need a long soliloquy because we have other callers that would like to get on and new callers in all the time. And speaking about new callers, if you are a new caller, guess what? You, like the person in Atlanta, look like it's true, you will be heard today. We will get you on so that you can be heard. Make sure you give the call screener your name, which you did, looks like it's true, down in the ATL. So you're going to be heard by Mr. Fuller when your time comes up, so you stick and stay. For everybody else, or for the other new people or people who are listening, you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com, and I will send you a symbol when I have received it or when it's forwarded to me or whatever it's done. And then your question will be answered at a date and at a certain date at a certain time. I don't know when that will be, but usually I get back to you. Or the question can be read, and I will give let you know what it is, hopefully before the system kicks it out. I don't want that to happen. We'll try to get to it. And lastly, you can go into the chat room, and the chat room is very much available to everybody. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com, and you want to click on programs. And when you do that, the Find a Produce Justice Show, click on that, and then at the, I think it's to the right, the icon for the chat room is available for you to get in or click, and then there you are, and you can join the chat, which, some very interesting conversations that go on in there. I would ask, though, that please do not use the chat room to ask me, to ask Mr. Fuller a question. I simply will not do that anymore. But I will occasionally read a statement or some of the conversations that go on in the chat room so that people can be aware of that. All righty. All right. Thank you, Construction Action Items. We missed you. Okay. Oh, and one more important thing. More Fuller this Thursday, February the 9th at 8 a.m., on the Carl Nelson Show, Mr. Fuller will be on. Mr. Fuller will be on this Thursday from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. And if you have trouble getting to it, thank you, Robert and Sharon and Moon Pie and all the others who are connected with it. they have set up a link so that you can listen to the show on the Carl Nelson Show by going to producejustice.com. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, that'd be fine. Maybe the Gatewood brothers are in it. No, never mind, forget that. But anyway, they have set that up so that you can hear and we can hear what Mr. Fuller has to say on the Carl Nelson Show. You want to do that. Okay, and don't forget, the books and materials that can be suggested to at producejustice.com, and we can go on from there. As I believe is Tess has one half a two-part question over there, so we will go back to him if I am correct here because this machine screen is blowing up. Okay, I think that's it. Okay, go ahead, Seth, with your second part of the question there.
Thank you, Mr. Bobby.
Yes,
sir. The second part is further. If someone is exploited, if the exploiter is a suspected male white supremacist and their personal details are known to the victim, how should the white non-white female act, assuming that the actions taken against the exploiter, there were no actions taken against the exploiter? Sorry about that.
Okay, wait a minute, because I made a mistake, and I have to admit I made a mistake. Before you ask your question, which you already did, we need to go back where Mr. Fuller ended up, because we had to change over. He was speaking about the main character in the movie that starred what's his name?
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, the Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Fuller, from that point, and then we'll take his question. You were making a point.
Oh, well, I think I finished that point.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to make sure. Okay,
yes,
just want to make sure.
We are all in prison, but I'll just try to emphasize it right quick.
Okay.
We, meaning whom? Non-white people are on the planet now in 2023, and every non-white person is subject to the system of white supremacy. Every non-white person is subject to the system of white supremacy, and that's either true or false. Directly or indirectly, you're subject if you're classified as non-white. That's what white supremacy means, the system of white supremacy. That's the world government. There is no other, quote-unquote, world government. You can say there are thousands of governments, sure. I mean, every person is a government. I mean, you can get up and walk from one room to the next if you have a couple of rooms, or you can go outdoors. You're governing yourself to that degree, but you will govern yourself only to the degree that the white supremacists will allow you, because the white supremacists have the control of whether you will breathe or not. They have that type of power. It's not a black person on the planet that the white supremacists, if they make a decision collectively without arguing among themselves, they make that decision. We want this particular black person dead by 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And you say, what particular black person? Well, they are in, right now, they're traveling, and they're in a place called Bolivia. And so, okay. Well, you want them dead by 6 o'clock tomorrow morning? Yes. You know, the white people, the white supremacists, not talking about all white people, but the white supremacists want this particular black person dead.
Yes.
And he or she is in Bolivia. That black person is going to be dead.
Yes.
That's it. And you might say, well, what about intervention from the creator of that person? Yes, and the white supremacists know that, but it ain't nobody else can stop it.
Yes, sir.
The white supremacists will admit, hey, we got to go up against the creator of that person. We're going to lose. They know that. So, you know, but if they say that if the creator allows us to do it, it ain't nobody on this planet can stop us. And that's the truth. And
yes.
That's the truth. That person is going to be dead. That person in Bolivia, that black person, I don't care what their business is and all like that. If they really want that person dead, that person is going to be dead. That's what white supremacy means.
Yes, sir. Okay. For those of you who do not believe what Mr. Fuller just said, I would make this suggestion. Check out COINTELPRO, a program that was allegedly started in 1956 and allegedly ended in 1971. Did it? Yeah, COINTELPRO. All righty. Anyway, now let's go back to Tess. Go ahead, Tess, now with your second part of your question.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Bobby. Thank you, Mr.
Yes,
Cole. The second part of the question is, if the person or the exploiter is a suspected white supremacist. What is, and the, their details are known. What do you suggest that the victim does, or is there anything that they can do?
When a person is
I'm trying to get
the frame of reference of everything that you're saying. The person is in what kind of position of doing what?
There's a non-white female that was, let's say, attacked or mutilated or raped or anything of that nature.
Right.
The white it's a suspected white supremacist, and their details are known. What do you suggest that the victim does?
What can she do?
That's right.
Is that the question?
Yes, sir.
She can't prevent that. The white supremacists, they're supreme. She can talk about it. That's all. She can reveal it. That's what Black History Month's all about. We're all being assaulted one way or another, 24-7. Mm-hmm. So we talk about it. Just like we're doing now. First of all, just reveal it. Everything that happens that shouldn't happen. And everything that happens that should happen is happening under the power of the system of white supremacy. Just reveal it. Everybody should know what everybody is doing as far as affecting another person, each person. If what you do affects another person directly, indirectly, the whole world should know it.
Yes,
what that effect is. So,
okay.
In answer to the question directly, just reveal it. Say, this is what is happening. This is what happened to me.
Okay.
That's it. Information
that's
is
it.
Power. I think it's Dick Gregory used to say that a lot. He would say a whole lot, but then he would interject that somewhere along the line.
Along the line, yes,
according to what I've heard him, he'd say, information is power. Information. Getting information at the time that you need it in anything is power. You're looking for a job. You're looking for information.
Information, yes, sir.
Yeah, you want to know what's happening. Because there's a lot of things that's happening that you're right in the midst of it sometimes, but you got no idea what's going on. And you're looking right at it because nobody's explaining it to you. And the white supremacists are supreme at that for sure.
Yes, sir, for sure.
I mean, black people stand right there watching them do something and have no idea of what they're doing. Mm. And you're standing there right watching them do it.
Looking.
See, that,
all right.
They're just that deceptive.
All right. Thank you, Tess from New York. Thank you for you. The second week in a row you called in. Very, very good. Before we go to our new caller again, Mr. Fuller, why is telling the truth the start of dismantling the system of racism, white supremacy?
You can't get nothing done without knowing the truth about it. You can't fly an airplane or drive a car. You got to know the truth about how to drive a car. You can't get in the trunk of the average car that's got a trunk and say, okay, go. Take me where I want to go. That's not the procedure for driving a car. The car is made a certain way. You have to know the truth about it has a steering wheel. It has a key called the ignition key. It has windshield wipers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't try to turn on the radio by operating the windshield wipers. You can sit there for years, and you'll be looking at windshield wipers wiping the windshield. But you'll be wanting to listen to the radio. But it won't happen. Why? You're not going through the necessary motions to make it happen. No radio is going to come on the kind of you turned on the windshield wipers. It's just that simple.
Tell the
truth. Black people have been trained to do the same things, getting the result that they don't want, over and over and over again. But the code says, what is it I'm trying to do? First of all, you got to know what it is you're trying to do. We have been so brain damaged by the white supremacists, many of us, to the extent that we'll be trying to do something without knowing why we're trying to do it. They have no idea. And just working ourselves to death. And without stopping to think, stepping back and saying, wait a minute. Is this the way that I should be spending my time and effort? Just look at what I am doing. What I am doing is absolutely stupid. But I keep doing it. Why? Because I did it yesterday and the day before and the day before.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've heard you mention that, you know, about telling the truth. Is the start of dismantling the system. Let's see here. Let's do this. True. New caller alert. Atlanta, ATL, you're in the house with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Yes. I had a question for Mr. Fuller. My question is, you said in your book, which is very extensive, I'm giving it a read, I'm only at the B of the word guide, and it's very extensive. I love it. The main point that I love is to for us to be quiet. That's the main point, for us to be quiet. But my question is, in your thing, you say that it's the guarantee that no person is mistreated, and who guarantees that the person who needs help the most gets the most help in all places, at all times, and in all areas of activity. And my question to you, Mr. Fuller, is white people not the people who need the most?
Who do the most? Did you say do the most of what?
Okay.
What is the question?
I had
repeat it.
Okay, let me repeat it. Well, maybe I should ask a question before that. No, I'll ask that question first. Are white people, because you said to produce justice, the people that get the most help, are white people the ones in need of the most help?
Are white people in need of the most help?
Yes.
Is that what you asked?
That's my question.
Are white people in need of the most help? That's the question?
Yes.
No. Black people need more help than white people. Collectively, we need help the most.
Okay. Second question. Are you black or are you white?
Am I black or am I white? I am black. Is that the answer to the question?
Okay.
Was that your question?
That was my question. From your knowledge, from your gathering of truth, who are stronger, or white?
Ask that question again, because I don't know whether it's me not getting it or what. Ask it again.
Who are stronger, black?
Who are stronger,
or white?
Black or white?
Yes.
If you're talking about people, strong. Now, I'm trying to get to an understanding. Stronger in the areas of activity, because there's just nine. Economics,
yes.
Education. Who
in
are
the
stronger
area of
people?
Of activity, then. Yes.
Who are the stronger people?
Yes.
the white supremacists. Supreme means strong. We are inferior in power to the white
people.
So
in your life, I read something that said you're, I was very old. I didn't know that you were 93. But in your life, you're saying that you have been mistreated.
Yes.
Not who you think above is doing things. You have been mistreated by more white people than black people.
I've been mistreated by the white supremacists. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
More than anybody
exactly.
else. The source of my mistreatment. I'm trying to answer the question if I understand the question. The white supremacists have mistreated me more than anybody. Why? Because they have supremacy over me more than anybody. I am their illegitimate child, the white supremacists. I am their illegitimate child. They have abused that illegitimate child every minute of every day. And that illegitimate child was me. I'm one of them, one of the millions and millions and millions. 24/7 of every minute that I have spent in existence, I'm an abused child. They have made me a prisoner, a slave of the system of white supremacy every minute that I have taken a breath, and even before then, because they abused the person that produced me, what I call my mother. They abused her while I was still in her womb. So the abuse, all of the abuse and the source of the abuse has come from my illegitimate father and mother, who are the white supremacists of this planet. Every minute of every day that I have taken a breath, inhale, exhale. That's the truth.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Let's see. 516-453-9921 is the number you call in. And please be sure that you give the call screen of your name, because I'm looking at a blank screen out here. So we don't want to do that. Not at all. Okay, looks like it's going to be George. You're up in Toronto. What is your question for Mr. Fuller?
Oh, hi, Mr. Bobby. Hi, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, sir.
I was just trying to think about self-respect is one of the components that drive the compensatory code. So when you tell yourself the truth and you're willing to tell others, that's self-respect. But the compensatory code can't work without the practice of self-respect. Is that right, Mr. Fuller?
Well, you could say that. If you're making that statement, the only question is it true? So what is respect? Respect is refusing to lie to yourself. And that's an answer to your question? Yes. That you refuse to lie to yourself. That is respect. That's the only type of respect. Self-respect is the only type. And what is self-respect? Refusing to lie to yourself. You might, at gunpoint, you might have to lie to somebody else or be compelled to lie out of fear. But if you are allowed to in any way, and you can easily do that, don't lie to yourself. Now, you got all the respect you need, because that's the only type of respect that there is. And you never ask someone else to respect you. Not ever, not ever, not ever, not ever, not ever, under any circumstance, do you ever ask someone to give you respect. You give it to yourself. That's the only source. And how do you give it to yourself? Don't tell yourself a lie.
All righty. Thank you, George. George from Toronto, Canada. Let's see here. A quick question here from the Gmails, Mr. Fuller. Daniel said this, Mr. Fuller, how can I sense a white person's hatred about me through his or her body language?
In a way that you think that it might be that, but I don't know how that's done, except what is their body doing? See, it comes down to definitions of words. That's why I have a word guide. Body language, what does that mean? What is the person doing? A person's body is moving. They might be just dancing. It might, a white person dances. Some of them. Many of them. So I can look at that, a person, a white person doing the bossa nova. Or hand dancing, or what do you call it, ballet, and you can call that body language. But if I'm watching a white person doing what they call ballet, I don't know what that means. And knowing me personally, I definitely don't know what ballet means. When I see people on their toes like that and whirling around, I don't know what message they're sending me. They're sending somebody a message who knows how to interpret that language. But in all these years, I've never really, what you might call, appreciated ballet, except you have to have a lot of physical endurance. I can see that. To operate on your toes like that, your toe is a part of the body language if you're doing ballet. But now the messages, I've never known what any of those messages meant. So I could be sending messages, but I just can't interpret the language. Just like any other language. You have, you know, when a person speaks a language, that's body, and that's language. But if I don't know what language they're speaking, if they're speaking Spanish, I know very few Spanish words. Very few.
Very few. Okay. All righty. We're going to take a break here, so let's do this. You're listening to the CRCS, Counter-Racist Code Show, with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And we thank you for your listenership. To get in contact with the show, thank you. Thank you, Swab. All you have to do is call 516-453-9921 and press the number one button. Thank you, I guess it's Chris. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you, Swab. Got you on, so hopefully we can get to your questions. And unknown unknowns, I just went through the list, but I didn't see your question, but maybe you can send it to me again. For those others, all you have to do is call that number. Again, it is 516-453-9921. Press the number one button and give the call screen of your name, and then we can do it. We can get you on there. And first-time callers, don't be scared. Just call in and give the call screen of your name. Indicate you're a first-time caller. And you're on. I'll try to make sure that we get you on. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com, and I will try to read it or get it. I will usually give you a notice. And again, unknown unknowns, I went through the mails that I have, and it's not on here, but I don't know what happened with that. But if it's on here, I'll try to read it. Let's see here. And you can also join the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com, and you want to click on programs, and you get the, when you do that, the Produce Justice Show will come up, and then you click on that, and you are in the chat room. Well, you can get into the chat room once you click on that little button there, and then you can join the conversations in there. Very interesting conversations in there, and sometimes I will select something, you know, from that. Okay. But anyway, that's what you do here. Alert, Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson Show this coming Thursday morning from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. And Robert and Sharon and Moon Pie and all the others have set up a link on producejustice.com where you can, we can listen to that show and hear what the questions and hear the comments from Mr. Fuller. You might want to do that. Okay, now, before I go back to the phones, because I have Darnell looks like he's called in. I'm going to try to get you all in, but I have to do this. Mr. Fuller, I need for you to speak about your book for a few moments before we take these calls.
The things that I'm saying now, most of it, the answers to some of the questions are in the textbook for Victims of White Supremacy. And you can go to your screen on your computer, producejustice.com, producejustice.com. And I have three volumes there, the Word Guide and the 2016 Revised Expanded Edition of a 1984 edition as a computer design on the cover in black and white. And that's the original, the 1984. Don't get that mixed up with the books that came after, which is the Word Guide in 2010, and it says so on the cover, and the Revised Expanded Edition, which came after the additional book to the original. The Revised Expanded Edition came out in 2016, the Word Guide in 2010, but the original goes back to 1984. I call that the original. So, but the Word Guide 2010 and the Basic Revised Expanded Edition 2016 are the books that I say are updated from the original. And some of the things that are in the, many of the things that are in the original are in the 2016 Revised Expanded Edition. But it's addressed to the individual victim of white supremacy, not the organizations. Organizations can use them, but it's addressed to the individual person who is a victim of white supremacy, so that you can operate without having to consult anybody on anything. Just consult the book, because the book is supposed to be based on logic. So any questions that you have, you're supposed to be able to go to the book and get a direct answer to the questions you might have, because the book is basically questions and answers, including the Word Guide, shows you what words to select and how to use them, and what words to ask questions about when other people use them.
Okay.
But you can get these volumes by going to producejustice.com. Producejustice.com.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. All right. Before we go on, okay, thank you. Mr. Fuller, because of the volume of calls and the people are waiting on the line, which I'm going to try to get in, and this one Gmail, is it okay with you that if the time permits that we take an extra 10 minutes, is it okay with you? I have to get your permission first.
Yes, in fact,
okay.
I mean, this program is designed, it's supposed to be listener-oriented. So
okay.
Even with me talking and whatnot,
okay.
Making announcements, I want most of the time, I want this program to be taken up by people who are trying to get their questions answered.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Robert, Sharon, Moon Pie, whatever, as you heard, hopefully that can be factored in. Probably an extra 10 minutes looking at what's going on now. So without further ado, let me start here and go with unknowns. From December the 6th, 2022, thank you, unknowns, it says this. It says, Mr. Fuller occasionally talks about the Roman Empire in the context of racism, white supremacy. Does he have any compensatory observations about Hannibal Barca in regards to his strategic endeavors on and off the battlefield, and most importantly, the mistakes he made that we can learn from? Thank you.
No, I don't have any information.
Okay.
None at all. I don't know enough about it. I'm not as astute. I don't have enough knowledge of history to answer most questions. I have little tidbits here and there that have come to my attention, but I'm definitely ignorant when it comes to knowing just a little bit of history that I should know.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not in that department at all. John Henry Clark and people like that, Ivan Van Sertima, those are two names that come to mind.
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Ben, and these
yes.
people have studied. They have traveled. Tony Browder, I'm just
yes.
naming some people who have written books and
yes.
who have gone places and verified certain things. I've just more or less glanced at history.
Okay.
I know very little history.
Was that
Benjamin
Yachman? Yachman, I think his name starts with a J.
Yes, they call him
yeah.
Dr. Ben, I think.
Yeah, Dr. Ben. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
right,
all
right, right.
Guys.
Now, they travel all you know,
yes.
in many, many places. They have been to places like Egypt, Timbuktu, and they
okay.
know a lot, right. But there
all
are a
right.
lot of historians. Dr. Carr at Howard University.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very
yes,
good.
Numerous people who have written many books and make many lectures. These are the
okay.
people who would answer all those questions.
Because mm-hmm.
I would be asking those type of questions.
Yes, sir.
I know
okay.
very little history. Not near as much as I should know.
All righty. All right, let's do this. Try to get this in order, whatever order I can get it here. Swa, let me see if I can get you on here. Swa, you are now in with Mr. Fuller. What is your question this morning, and good morning?
Greetings, Mr. Bobby. Greetings, Ms. Neely Fuller, Jr. I have a quick BGQ. For me, attempting counter-racism has improved my existence greatly and alleviated a lot of incorrect feelings and thoughts I used to have. Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., why is it that non-white people think attempting to counter racism is going to make them miserable?
Why is it that non-white people who attempt to counter racism?
Why do non-white people think that attempting counter racism is going to make them miserable?
Well, if it makes them miserable, they should ask why are they miserable when they try to counter racism. They'll have to answer each person. I'm not miserable when I'm trying to counter racism. And that's the only time I feel like I have any sense at all. It's only when I'm countering racism do I think that I'm actually doing what I should be doing. I am not miserable at all doing that. I think that's my assignment. I was miserable before I started thinking of replacing the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. Once I got that in my head, I felt better immediately. That that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And when I'm not doing that, that's when I'm supposed to be miserable. I'm supposed to be miserable. And I recommend that for everybody on the planet, including white people. If you're not trying to get rid of the system of white supremacy and replace it with something better, and that something better would be something called justice, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most, it don't get no better than that. So why not go for for that particular golden crown? Trying to produce the best possible thing that people of planet Earth can produce, and that is justice. Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. It doesn't get no better than that for the people of planet Earth. And anytime you lock onto that, you are supposed to feel, quote, unquote, feel exhilarated all the way. That is supposed to be your greatest motivating force. Anything else, as the textbook for victims say, is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, Swa. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're going to go to Kansas City, and I think it's Chris, unless I got it wrong. It's probably my fault. Is it Chris?
Yes, sir.
In Kansas? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please, sir.
Okay, Mr. Fuller, on one hand, black people were told that Abraham Lincoln freed them in 1865, but every time you come on any talk show, which is the Carl Nelson or even this show, you're constantly saying that we're in prison. So being free and being in prison is two different things. So why are they saying that we are free, but you're saying that we are in prison?
Because the way I see it, and I'm just saying this is my opinion, which is everything that I've written and everything that I say here on air, I think this is the truth. See, I don't know what people mean by being free. I concentrate not on the word freedom. I concentrate on the word justice, which means, a definition that I made up, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated. Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated ever. That's number one. Number two, guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most in any area of activity, economics, labor, education, guaranteeing whatever person needs help the most in any of these areas of activity gets that help. Now, that's a difficult thing to achieve. But there's an old saying, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. Now, I don't even know if that's true or not. But I'm saying everybody on the planet 24/7 should be trying to do it. Produce a product called justice, something that has never happened. Now, anybody who says that that's what we have now is not telling the truth. Is there a guarantee that everybody who needs help is getting it? I don't see that nowhere, among no people. Do I see people being mistreated everywhere and everything that I hear about? Yes, people are being mistreated. Somebody's being mistreated. That's not supposed to happen, ever. Okay? So whatever Mr. Lincoln said or anybody else said, they're not telling the truth. If they mean by freedom that they have justice, that's two different words. Everybody can say that they're free. There are people that write poems, and one of them, I forgot the name of it, I was taught when I was in elementary school, say that stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. If I have freedom in my soul, and then I don't remember the rest of it, but it's equivalent to, if I got freedom, if I feel like I'm free, I am free. Now, that is insanity to me. If I'm in Auschwitz or Dachau or Angola, a prison that's, they say, one of the worst historically, in Louisiana, and then there's Rikers Island. I've heard of many different prisons and whatnot. Some of them, they say, are better than others. But prison is prison. And if you're free, you're not in prison. And the system of white supremacy is the biggest system and most successful system, prison system, ever invented in the minds of people. And I'm in that prison now. How can I be free?
Good question. All righty.
The system of white supremacy is a prison system. I've never been out of prison. I was born in prison. And I will testify to that in any so-called court of law, including
this
one.
Including
right
this
now
one.
On the air. This is a court of law. We're supposed to be making laws.
Thank you, Chris, if that is really your name. But I will tell you this. You must have been in our discussions in group because that came up. Your question actually came up about Lincoln. And then a question came up about what is it to be emancipated and then proclamation.
Well, we're still under white supremacy. That's correct question.
Exactly.
And the answer is yes. So that takes care of that.
That takes care of that. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. All right. Joshua, which is pronounced Joshua here in this northwestern hemisphere. Ron in Texas, a new caller. We'll get to you, but let's go to Joshua. Joshua, you are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
How y'all doing today?
Good, sir.
I got a couple of yes or no, pretty much short questions. Mr. Fuller, how many children do you have?
How many? What?
Children.
I'm hearing static.
Yeah, there's a lot of static in there. Are you outside or something? Because it's terrible. Okay, it's better now. Go ahead. No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay, now it is. Now it is. Okay, go ahead.
How many children does he have?
Three.
What did they do for a living?
Well, one of them now is basically helping me, but they work also for the white supremacists. The other two work for the white supremacists, too. Now, I don't know specifically what, because they changed jobs, I guess.
Okay.
So they're away from me. And so,
you were a police officer, correct?
That's what they called me. I've never been a police officer.
Okay.
See, a police officer practices justice.
Right.
I've never practiced justice.
Okay, and then my last question is, would it, if the system of white supremacy benefits whites the most, wouldn't it not be beneficial for them to try to dismember it? So why would they try to help us dismember it if it would be, if the first rule of life is self-preservation, why would they help get rid of white supremacy if it helps them so much?
If, in other words, I'm trying to get your question. Well, why would white people get rid of white supremacy if it helps them so much? Is that the question?
Yes, sir.
Because they don't get rid of white supremacy because it helps them in the way that they want to be helped. That's the purpose. That's why we still have it. Now, if we want them to get rid of it, they're going to have to want justice more than they want white supremacists. So, it's our duty, my duty, according to logic, to ask the white supremacists to change their value system from white supremacy to a value system of justice. And that is my mission, to persuade them by whatever means are the most constructive, that will get the most constructive result in producing a thing called justice to replace the system of white supremacy, which is a system of non-justice. I consider that to be my job. Now, so far, the white supremacists have said, I get more out of mistreating people of color than I do out of not mistreating people of color. And so far, they have shown by example that they would rather have white supremacy. It is my job to persuade them to choose justice over white supremacy. That's it. That's my job. Now, how to go about doing it? I have chosen to use the codified method for non-white people. We've tried a lot of things. I'm saying we need a code, first of all, to try to get us victims to understand we are victims in every area of activity. And that's part of the job. But simultaneously persuade white people through the use of codification, changing the way words are used, keep it before them that this is a priority, the only priority. Got to take care of this first. Get rid of the system of white supremacy. We should be sending that message 24/7. To every white person that's breathing. Get rid of the system of white supremacy and replace it with a better system called justice, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. And that's it. That's the only reason for existence. For both white people and non-white people. Very simple and straight to the point.
Yeah. All
right. Now, they have shown they don't want to do it. Okay, they're showing this right this minute. But it's our job, comes the white supremacy, according to logic, not according to Neely Fuller, to say this is the first order of business. And the second order, and the third order, and all the orders. Get rid of this system of white supremacy, white folks.
Okay.
And all replace right. it with a better system called justice.
All righty. Very good. 516-453-9921 is the number you have to call to get in line. Don't forget, when you call that, give them your name. Ron, new caller from Texas. You are now on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hey, Mr. Fuller, how's it going?
I'm still learning, I hope.
Okay, yes sir. Do you agree with me that we should start giving these Democratic politicians pushback for selling us out to the LGBTQ community? An example of them doing that is the African American studies in Florida. No reason African American studies should have any gay agenda to it. Do you agree with me on that?
No, I don't agree or disagree. That's not the codified way. I just simply say what should be and what shouldn't. See, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with anybody. That's not the codified way. And it's the reason for that. You get lost in words. You just say, what's the best thing to do when it comes to sex? According to logic. See, always keep your mind on one word, logic. Not according to Democrats, Republicans, what President Biden said, as opposed to what President Trump said. You don't need to get into none of that when you're talking about race and racism and what to do about it. You just say, what does the logic say? The logic of the universe. One and one is two. Say that we need to perfect the interaction between black males and black females. That's when it comes to the victims of racism. Perfect. Make them into quality people. I call it universal man, universal woman. That's never been straightened out. That's a mess. I'm talking about male-female relationships.
Well, that's,
for the people of this planet. It is an absolute mess. Now, the logic says get that straight first before you even start talking about transgender and all the rest of that. That don't even get honorable mention now. That's not even on the radar. It shouldn't be. And for anybody who's pushing that, the code says, wait a minute. We haven't gotten the way the male-female thing is supposed to be yet. And that's what you start with. You start with basics. Get that straight. Then you can come up with all this other stuff later on, if ever. But the code says right now, all this other kind of experimentation or whatever you want to call it, artificiality, counter sex, I got dozens of names for it other than the names it already has, because you can have dozens of names. There shouldn't be no restrictions on names for it. Counter sex, anti-sex, because sex is between male and female. All right? We haven't gotten
right.
that straight. And,
yeah,
and the cold position is get that straight first. You're nowhere near what it should be. The relationship of black, between a black male and a black female is a disaster everywhere on the planet right this minute. Every last so-called, even the ones, the people who think that they, or say that they got a wonderful relationship. It ain't so. We don't even know what a wonderful relationship is, as the way it should be according to the code. It's called universal man plus universal woman, in tune with everything that is of constructive value in the universe. We are nowhere close to that without trying to say that, well, let's try to see what a male person can do with a sheep. That's been tried by a lot of other people without even thinking about getting the male-female thing with persons straight first. You start with basics. And then all the rest of the thing, according to the code, you ain't going to need it. You get the... You don't do it by saying I'm condemning what a party is doing or what persons are doing. You don't use that terms that even say that that's what you're doing. You're saying they are opposing. If they want to get and leading black people into it and having the white supremacists do it, it's not the Democratic Party or anybody else. It's the white supremacists who are behind all this alphabet, seeing how many alphabets you can come up with when it comes to black sexuality. They can do what they want to, the white supremacists. All right? And I guess should. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that tampering with black people, we've been tampered with enough. We shouldn't be no parts of anything that deviates from, first of all, getting everything straight. with black males and black females before you even think about touching anything else. Get that straight. Get the black male with the black female straight. And then we'll look at all this sexual assortment. I mean, a person with a giraffe and having babies that look like that. And half giraffes. They claim that ancient times, the Romans and the Greeks tried all that. They tried it, full blown. Finally, they gave up saying, wait a minute, this ain't working too well. They had statues of it. We see them. Open history books. I see statues, half man, half horse. That's been tried. And they glorified it. Oh, yeah, they said all the emperors and whatnot could have a, you know, try to have babies with a horse. You know, they're emperors. You're a god, you can do anything. They call themselves god. So they tried that. Had a whole island called Lesbos where, hey, mix and match anything. I heard that from somebody somewhere. It's in the dictionary, Lesbos. All right. That was an island where they said that go there and try anything sexual. I mean, any kind of mix and match you can. Get a wolf. You know, see how that works. Have some babies that halfway look like wolves. Yeah. You know, you can try anything.
Yeah.
But the code book says black people are so messed up, don't be trying stuff with us. Try all that stuff on yourself.
Well,
we
got to
get our male-female thing straight.
That is true. Let me try this. We have come to the end of the program. My goodness. So thank you, Mr. Fuller, for your explanation. Thank you, callers, for calling in, Gmailers, and activity on the chat. We thank you. We made a lot of mistakes today. I know I really did. I'll have to try to get better, hopefully next week. I'll try to be better on that. But remember, all the books and all the material you can get by going to producejustice.com. And don't forget that Mr. Fuller will also be on the Carl Nelson Show this Thursday from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. And we have a link set up here at producejustice.com. All the books and materials can be gotten at producejustice.com. Final word, Mr. Fuller, to you.
Producejustice.com. That's the name of the program, and that's what we should all be thinking about. Try to get the most constructive results out of every move we make.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. We'll do better next week. Thank you.
Thank you.